Hello and welcome to Big Dating Energy. I'm your very handsome, super talented, incredibly funny host, Jeff Gunther, licensed professional counselor. How's it going? I am so excited for you to listen to this episode because I'm talking to the busy fucking Phillips. I've becoming therapy, Jeff, has allowed me to talk to some like really cool people that I've been following or watching or admiring for a long time. And one of those people is Busy Phillips. And we just like get on the call and we're just like best buds, just two best buds chatting about really deep stuff, hard things that she's going through right now. You're going to love it because I loved it. Did you watch Busy Phillips in Freaks and Geeks? Freaks and Geeks, top five TV show of all time. I think we can all agree. Also, one of the best last episodes I've ever seen. Tragically, only one season. It's horrible. But Busy kind of like is the star of the show, in my opinion. God, she is so good. There's also a young Seth Rogen, a young James Franco before he was canceled. Was he canceled? Canceled light? I don't know. I'm sure James is doing great. But we're here for Busy Phillips. You're going to love it. Also, if you want more therapy, Jeff Gunther, you can go listen to my other podcast called Problem Solved. If you want me to get deep into problems and give advice, go listen to that podcast. And you should give me a little review for this podcast. Give me a 5-star review. I know you want to do it. Just do it. You hit that 5-star review. Leave me a few words. My fucking mood is boosted the whole goddamn week. It's so good. I love it. And what else? Oh, go buy my book. Go buy my book, Big Dating Energy. It's packed with information that will literally save your relationship life. I don't know why. There should be like a million copies sold in the first week. That's what I imagine will happen. But you can pre-order it. And there will be a pre-order incentive that I'm going to announce real soon. Can't wait. Okay, anyways, let's get to it. Bye. Hi, Busy.
Hi.
How's it going? I'm good.
It's good.
Yeah? What are you doing today?
Well, I am in the middle of going through like what feels like 400 boxes of stuff of mine and my ex-husband and, I mean, our kids. Yeah. Stuff from our house in Los Angeles that we had together because we came to New York, we thought temporarily. And it ended up being a total move here. And then like four months after we moved here, my then husband and I decided to separate. And so we weren't going to sell the house in Los Angeles, but then the first people that came to look at it, to rent it, bought it, like wanted to buy it, and we sold it to them. Wow. And so our stuff, minus like some stuff that came to the rental here in New York, but the majority of our stuff, of our life, of like 15 years together, was put in a giant storage unit in Connecticut for the last three and a half years. And so, yeah, Mark and I have been like fully separated for emotionally.
Hold on. I want to rewind a little bit because, and I want to jump into what you're going through because I feel like there's a lot there.
Oh my God. And dating. I mean, this is like the dating, big dating energy, you know, I have big dating energy right now.
Ugh, we love to hear it. Well, let me tell me, when did you meet Mark?
The first time I met Mark, I was in my early 20s. At an audition because he's a writer and a director. And I had auditioned for one of their projects and had gotten pretty far along in the process, but then didn't get the part. And then Gabrielle Union got it, guys. Oh, you know, okay, she's amazing. And then cut to many years later, met him, ran into him at a bar in Los Angeles.
Well, were there sparks when you first met him?
No, not when I was auditioning. No. Okay. Like, not then. No, okay. I didn't. That also, like, I'm not that kind. I don't know. I've never been that. I never put that vibe out ever with, like, in terms of work. Like, it's just not. That's not. I'm never, like, looking, even if. And there are attractive people in my business, obviously. But it's. I'm so work focused that it doesn't even occur to me. That I could date this person. You know what I mean? Like, that happens later. If you're working with someone, you have a crush on them or whatever. But no, so not when we first met. But then when we ran into each other at this bar, St. Nick's, that does no longer exists in Los Angeles. That night, no, I like thought he was so cute. And I gave him my phone number. But I had just had my heart broken, like, bad. And... thankfully, Mark got bad information from a friend of his that I had a longtime boyfriend. He, you know, this guy, the friend of his didn't know that we had just broken up. So Mark didn't really reach out to me because I think he thought, well, no, I know because we've talked about it because, you know, obviously, he thought that I was like one of those actresses who was just like, oh, I'll give this guy my phone number because he's a writer and a director, you never know, like for business purposes. So he never reached out to me. But then over the next year, we ran into each other. It was just one of those things. Like, we just kept running into each other. And finally, I was like, why is this guy not asking me out? This is so weird. And I basically, like, beelined for him at this club that I saw him at, this, like, party. And just made it very clear that he needed to ask me out. And he did. And then, and then it was like, and then we were just like, I was calling him my fiance before we even went out.
Why were you doing that?
Because I just knew I was going to, like, have kids with him and marry him. I like, I'm not even kidding, Jeff. To be fair, I had said that a couple times before.
But this time it really
not really. No, it really did. It really did. Like, it was like, it was just weird. Like, I just knew that, I don't know. We were just, I just knew that we were going to
have. Was it your gut or intuition? Was it the way that you interacted?
Yeah. All of it? It was all of it. It was all of it. And I just was like, just certain. And I wasn't wrong. Like, we went out and he was leaving town for like 2 weeks for a wedding in Tulum in Mexico. And this is like so long ago. It's almost 20 years ago. It's 20 years ago this June, which is crazy. And so we just made out at the end of the date. And then, he was leaving like the next night, but called me in the morning. And this is like pre-texting, you understand?
I understand.
And he called me the next morning and was like, would you want to just like hang out before I go on this trip? And I was like, yeah, I do. And we went and got Pinkberry, which had just opened in Los Angeles. Like, this is like all very much of a time. It's an asset.
That was a big deal, Pinkberry. Yeah. I get it.
Are you kidding? It was such a big deal. Like, line around the block in West Hollywood. Yeah,
I remember.
So I actually, he had never been. So I took him to Pinkberry for the first time. So anyway, so I was like, no, let's go to Pinkberry because I was obsessed with it. And we went to Pinkberry and then, yeah, like we kind of made out. And then he went on this trip and my birthday is June 25th. And I remember that he was supposed to come home like June 27th or something like that. But I said to him, I was like, you know, I'm having this big party for my birthday on June 25th. Like, if Tulum is boring, you should come home early for it. Uh-huh. And he did.
Wow. Wow. So he was feeling it too, like really hard.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And what was the first year like? Was it like just honeymoon-y, sparky? Was it easy?
No, it was super complicated because I'm like, I'm like a person that has like a lot of stuff and was young. I was 26.
When you say you have, when you're like a person that has a lot of stuff, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote about this in my book, but like I have like sexual trauma. I have like different kind of attachment issues that now like all these kids are so fucking, the 20-year-olds, bless them. Yeah. I'm happy that you like go on a first date and you're like, I'm anxiously attached or whatever. But like, I didn't know. I mean, I had been in therapy at this point. I'd been in therapy since I was a teenager, but like had been doing work as an adult, but still like I didn't have a lot of the language for the things that I was feeling. I had a lot of issues sort of like being really open and transparent about my feelings and things. But, but Mark is a very like calming presence and we really quickly, like, our compatibility in terms of, like, our lives and how we want, like, how our lives were built and structured and our, like, around our friends and different shared, like, interests and our work and all of those things, was, like, very immediate and really clear. You know, he's older than me and was in a place where literally all of his friends were in that wedding season. And so we went to like a ton of weddings the first year of our relationship, which is also like a lot, you know?
That's a lot for sure.
It is. But we like threw great, we like threw great parties. We did have a lot of fun. I was on a TV show that was like a sitcom at the time. And he came to every taping and sat in my dressing room and watched it, which was like incredible, unheard of. And also it meant that he missed multiple Lakers games, which which I didn't even realize what a big deal that was until later. But yeah, that was like a big deal.
So you probably felt really chosen.
And I was, yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like he was like very like there, made you his primary like thing, and you were you felt engaged and you were having fun, and even though there was maybe some like complicated emotional stuff that you were going through, it sounds like he was like really steady and anchored and grounded and there for you. Is that kind of like what it was like?
I think so. But like I think he also, you know, we've like processed our entire relationship and did a lot before we decided to get divorced. We were in like pretty intensive couples therapy for 5 years, just figuring out what we were doing, like how, if some of the things in our relationship were actually irreparable, if they could be fixed or, and like how we wanted to move forward. And like that work was so helpful, because I think that we really took so much time to figure it all out, you know?
You wanted to be really thoughtful, and there was a lot there.
Yeah. We were definitely more thoughtful about the divorce than even like our marriage.
So when did you get married after meeting?
We got married literally like our 2-year dating anniversary.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the wedding like?
It was amazing. We had a surprise wedding.
Oh, nice.
Which is amazing. He had been engaged once before and had planned a whole wedding and had done the whole thing. And then they called it off. And I had been to a surprise wedding when I was a kid. One of my aunt's friends had one. And I thought it was like the greatest thing ever. So we sent out an invite. Everybody thought that Mark was throwing me a surprise birthday party. That was the ruse. And then I showed up in this like giant Vera Wang wedding dress and everyone yelled surprise. And we were like, nope, surprise. And then the back of this place, which just looked like a cool, like space for a party like opened up and there was a mm-hmm. backyard and we had the mm-hmm. wedding back there. It was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds really sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
And then, so you get married, feeling good. When uh-huh. did maybe like some of the first kind of bigger issues start to bubble up in the marriage?
I mean, we had our first kid, Birdie Silverstein, mm-hmm. who's the best. Mm-hmm. But the writer's strike of 2008 was happening. Mm-hmm. And we had just gotten married. I wasn't on a TV show. A lot of people don't know, or maybe they do. I mean, much like most jobs in America, there's no like maternity leave for actresses. You're just right. out of work if you're pregnant. And mm-hmm. If you're not on a show, and even if you are, sometimes they can like figure out ways to write you out. It sucks. And yeah. so the writer's strike was happening. I mean, being a mother was always a thing for me. Like I knew I wanted to have kids mm-hmm. and I wasn't on a TV show. Everyone in the industry was saying it was going to last a long time, this strike, which it did, not as long as mm-hmm. this most recent mm-hmm. one. But, so I was like, well, let me just go off the pill and see what happens. And I got pregnant immediately. And, that's Birdie. That's our child. But pretty instantly, like that was just really hard. And we did not have our shit figured out in terms of like our dynamics, our communication, our expectations. And again, like I said, like, I don't think I had done, I mean, I hadn't, I wasn't in a place where I was even able to know what to ask for or what I needed mm-hmm. for support. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, have had like in my life, I've spent a lot of time. I spend a lot of time in my head and my, mm-hmm. and I move my thoughts move really quickly. Mm-hmm. And, so that, especially like that, the first year of Birdie's life was really, really hard for me and our relationship. Yeah. And I felt like really alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first year of like having a kid in any relationship is sort of famously like the hardest on the relationship. Oh my
God. Jeff, anytime I hear somebody who's like, oh yeah, they're getting divorced. And I'm like, how old is their kid? And they're like, she's 18 months. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm like proud of anyone who makes it through the first 2 years without.
Oh my God. Totally.
Piecing out. And
looking back on that time, like, what do you think you needed or he needed? Like, what could have made the relationship feel more connected and flow?
I mean, communication is like everything, but I think that, you know, I think a couple of things, like, I think that Mark's, I'm only talking about my experience, you right. know, and I think that for his experience, I present as a person who is totally self-sufficient and mm-hmm. totally has it the fuck together and mm-hmm. doesn't need anyone else to come in and help me. Mm-hmm. And even a partner, like, I think that he sort of thought of me as the way that he is, which is like, if he needs something, he'll ask for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, A, never taught that I could do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And B, sometimes have a hard time even identifying what it is. And sure. C, I had just had a fucking baby.
Right.
was like a hormonal mess. And D was like still dealing with like trauma stuff and sexual mm-hmm. trauma stuff and like trying to get through all of the and living a life where I'm like, sorry, but like in a career where like my body and my face and my worth is constantly being mm-hmm. judged and valued. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there were a lot of factors at play and complications. And I think that we could have really stood some like couples therapy early mm-hmm. on, maybe before mm-hmm. we got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It sounds like you wanted to be able to like communicate to him during that time that you wanted to feel closer or more support or whatever, but you were having a hard time identifying that yourself. So you weren't expressing it. And he was banking on like, well, you're going to fucking say something if you need right. something. So he's like, I guess everything's fine or whatever. Right. So you one felt of the pretty biggest disconnected.
Things, I felt so disconnected. And one of the biggest things I remember was that like we were, and I think this is in my, I think I wrote about this in my book. And like another thing to Mark's credit, like I'm very open and honest in my book about things I felt in our relationship, about how I felt about him. And I'm not easy on him in the relationship, but I'm also, I feel like not easy on myself ever, period. Including in my book. But he was obviously very aware and had read every chapter and everything. Mm-hmm. But, he, you know, to his credit, like he really had to deal with a narrative that's very one-sided always because he's not in the public life like or mm-hmm. public eye in the same way right. that I am. And because of the clickbait culture that we live in, a lot of the things that I said in the book and things that I have said since have been taken out of context, extrapolated. And it's like, Busy Phillips mm-hmm. almost divorced her husband because he sucked. You know what I mean? And, right. and like, he's really taken that with a lot of grace and mm-hmm. way more than I think most people would be able to have. And, mm-hmm. I'm like eternally grateful to him for his, the kindness. Oh no, I'm going to cry, but the kindness that he continues to show me.
Yeah. That's really loving. And it takes a lot of strength and understanding on his part to be able to navigate that and to not get in his yeah. head about it or take it personally or want to fight back in some sort of way or punish you yeah. somehow. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's huge and really impressive.
Because yeah. he could have done any mm-hmm. number of things, but mm-hmm. you know, he's been always though too. I think, like acutely aware of our kids, and like, and as am I, but like how important it is for them to just have that example of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't remember what the question was.
Well, the original question was like, when did you start like maybe feeling some cracks or issues or problems? You're like, well, it was really difficult going through the first. Yeah. Yeah. And, but then you get out of maybe the first year of having a kid. And what did it get to a point where it's just like, okay, now there's like some breathing room. There's like a routine here. Things are feeling a bit better. Or did it continue to be like a little complicated or?
I mean, difficult? we had issues. No. We had like, this is also what's interesting about this, like, thing that we're doing, this garage sale. Look, we don't mm-hmm. do anything normal. Do you know what I mean? I don't know anyone who, I don't know what normal is. I don't know her. She's never been a part of my life. But mm-hmm. like, you know, we've decided to sell the majority of our stuff because it's just been sitting in a storage unit in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And it's been 3 years. And then, like I said to you before that, we had been in pretty intensive couples therapy for 5 before that. But like, you know, we had all this stuff in our house.
Right.
And it's been 3 years. And like, we're now going through all of this stuff. We're like basically selling the majority of it. But we're looking at our life together mm-hmm. in items and things and having this really like cathartic and beautiful moment that I don't know if I could have had 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I had like initially after Trump was elected, I was like, fuck this, I'm out. Like, I'm not staying in this marriage. I'm done. Bye. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. And also, we have two very small children, and can we go to therapy? So that was like the start of the thing.
Yeah. What was it about like the Trump election that made you be like, fuck this, I'm out?
Well, for one thing, Mark was a person who was like, it's not, they won't let him. It won't be that bad. He's not going to win. Even if he wins, it's not going to be that bad. And not that, I mean, Merck is like an advocate for all the things. And, you know, like, I'm obviously an activist and work in all these different spaces, but he really was like a dude about it. Like so many dudes, but that was like a piece of like a bigger thing that I had felt in the relationship for so long, which was like, I felt that I had continually made myself smaller and smaller and smaller in our home, not outwardly, not necessarily to the world, although kind of, because once I kind of gave like let go of that thing and was like, fuck it, I'm out. Like that's when like my career, as we kind of know it now, sort of really took off, like the second iteration of my career, this part where people are like, had really connected to me on social media and Instagram, and then my book and my talk show and all of the things that have come after. So I think I had felt, I think I felt like I was living in a relationship that I felt I had been very unhappy in for a long time, and hadn't felt supported, and hadn't felt in many ways and creatively and all of these things. And again, like I'm saying to you, it was all like, I never told him any of these things.
Right. But it sounds like you felt really lonely.
I was so lonely. That's why I fucking started talking to the internet, Jeff. Come on. It's like, I was like, hey guys, anyone? Where are we? What are we doing? Anyone listening? And it turns out there's a lot of women who also felt the same way. And that is part of, I think, the connection, you know? But so going through all of this stuff, and like in this moment in my life and his life and our life together still as parents, as co-parents, and like we say, we run a company together. Like we're like raising these people. To be able to like have this time to like go through the stuff in a really loving way that I'm especially able to see how beautiful the life was that we had, that we built together. It's really such a gift. And like, I don't know if it would have been possible before now.
Right. Yeah. Cause it sounds like you had to like go on an emotional journey in order to be open to what you're doing, going through all the stuff. And it's sort of like every little piece, like everything that you're going through has a story attached to it, right? And it probably tells the whole story of your relationship together in the past 20 years. Like that's kind of huge. Yeah.
It's huge.
So for both of you to be present during that, like going through these things, talking, like that's like a really sweet, lovely way to start getting closure on a relationship and accepting where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I also, like I said last night on my Instagram stories, because I was like talking about it. Obviously, we're not getting rid of everything. You know what I mean? Like we're holding on to the things that like really matter and our children. definitely keeping them. But we're able to like, I don't know. I've just heard, and I've had friends who've gone through breakups, even with kids involved, where it's gotten so gross, where they're like fighting over like a vase or whatever. Right. And after the dust of the emotional dust has settled and we've moved into this new version of our friendship and love for each other, Mm-hmm. And real closeness in a way, like we have more, I would say we have more emotional intimacy now than we did when we were married.
Yeah. It's funny. So I was married for 7 or 8 years. And then me and my ex-wife got divorced we separated in 2019, right before the pandemic.
Oh, wow. And that's wild.
Yeah. And then eventually we wrote a book together that's coming out in July. And our like relationship also feels like we have more intimacy, more closeness, because there isn't like the pressure of marriage on top of our relationship and all of the expectations and needs, and you are my primary person in all these ways, and I'm now feeling let down, or I'm projecting a bunch of like my past stuff onto you, and you're doing that to me, and it gets all funky and weird and resentful and shit like that. So there was like a release of like getting divorced, taking some space, then coming back together and being like, oh, this is why we found each other in the first place. We're such good friends. We work so well together. We're good writing partners. We like to create, right? And there's just like a real big, like, I was so happy that like there was still so much there after the divorce. It sort of like gave me this like reassurance that like it made sense that we were together in the first place, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Of course. And I think like when you add, especially when you add kids into it, it becomes even more important. Like your kids first of all, especially because like we have a teenager, firmly teen, and then like a preteen, they're already in a place where they like want to dislike their parents in a way, because you know they're trying to like find their autonomy. Mm-hmm. Like you have to like show them the great things about their other parent.
For sure.
You have to be the, you know what I mean? Like that's where I'm like, you can't be parents that are like at each other's throats all the time or whatever when you have these kids who are constantly listening, because they're going to pick up on all of the things. Any of the things that my kids like pick on me or Mark about are things that we have picked on each other about for sure.
Yeah. They're fucking smart. So they know it's
up. Of course they're smart. They're just like, they're always paying attention. Yeah. You know?
So, can you tell me about your couples counselor? did you like them? How did you feel
about
them?
We had two.
Okay.
The first one was like something out of a movie. Like she was like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It was wild. She like would lay back in a recliner and like cover herself in a blanket, like up to her neck.
Interesting.
And
move.
She was really kooky and and basically was like sort of constantly just saying things like just like essentially being like, you should just get divorced. Like, like I'm not even like, it was like, we had some, listen, here's the thing, Jeff, and I don't know, I can't speak to who you are as a therapist, but there's some fucking bad things, like there's some weird bad therapists out there. Yeah. And I do think as a person who's been in a lot of therapy and had a lot of different therapists and experienced even different modalities and different like, you know, Jungian and fucking somatic and all the things, like for people who are trying to figure it out, like it is not one size fits all. You have to be able to like, and the hardest thing, especially if you're a person who's like going to therapy for a myriad of reasons, whatever, is trusting your gut. Like if you're like, that doesn't really, because I mean, there's an opportunity for somebody to be like, well, your gut's always been wrong. You know what I mean? Right. Which is like, I've seen that on therapy TikTok.
Totally. Where
I'm like, no, I mean, yes, I have sexual trauma. My gut's not always wrong. In fact, my gut's right. Like I'm right so much of the time. Anyway, all I'm saying, so that was our first couples therapist. And Mark was always like, this does not work for me. And I was like, I like her, because she was just saying what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But then we found another therapist. We took a break for a minute. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're just like continuing to live our life. Well, actually, right. Mark had to shoot a movie in Boston. So we all like went to Boston and, and then we found another therapist who was a man, and I was skeptical because of my inherent distrust and dislike of men. But he was actually the perfect fit for us.
Why is
and
that?
Like, I think he was just very gentle in his approach and was able to translate for us. Mark and I don't speak the same emotional language a lot of the time. And, you know, I hear a lot of things as judgment. And he hears a lot of things as like absolutes. When I'm like, I'm just being hyperbolic. I don't know. I'm not saying all the time, you know, but I am saying all the time, but I don't mean all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he was just like he was really good at translation between the two of us and helping us to like find a common language. And we did, you know, I think we did really good work with him.
Were you ever like frustrated with him or mad at him, the couples counselor?
Are you asking me because you have people that you think are mad at you, Jeff?
I've had a handful of couples that have been mad at me. Yeah.
I mean, do you think that therapists... Wait, I mean, like, do you think therapists care if their clients like them or don't like them?
I mean, there's two kind of separate answers. Like, so the answer is like, it's annoying. It's yes and no. Like, no, as in like, we have to like, we allow the clients or the couple to like project whatever they want onto us, like yell at us or cry with us or whatever. Like, we're not going to like, we're trained to not take it personally. And there's like always so much to work with. If there's like some sort of, if you are mad at me, like, oh, let's dig in, what happened and how can like you and I repair it in this relationship so that you can see that you can work through things and still feel connected and all that. But personally, there's like still my personal self that like goes in there that wants to be liked by everybody.
Really?
Of course. Yeah, 100%.
I don't know.
So there's, well,
some
yes.
people don't give a fuck.
Oh, I give a fuck. My personal self gives a fuck. And so that like part of me is inside of me, like while I'm doing therapy. And if someone's mad at me or disappointed or feels like I hurt them in some way, I feel pretty fucking guilty and really bad about it. And I let that sort of like be on the side and I try not to come from that place. So both things are happening. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, how do you, as a therapist who's like, I don't know if you're in a relationship now or whatever, but if you're like dating, how do you like not let, how do you shut that part off where you're like, I'm going through this, my own personal drama or whatever, you know, when you do the work, is that like a weird question?
No, this is a great question. I have a girlfriend and I think like probably anybody that I'm dating, they have to find like the therapist. They don't have to, but typically they're going to find like the therapist analytical side of me interesting and attractive because it's hard for me to shut off any side of me. I can shut off the personal side of me pretty good when I'm being a therapist with my clients.
That's outside of the office.
I just want to be myself.
It's so funny because one of my really close friends, Ed, who was in a band for a really long time, he was lead singer of a band. He's Cricket's godfather, actually. But he became a therapist and he's now like a licensed practicing therapist. His second act. And I just had dinner with him for the first time since he's become officially a therapist. And I did feel he had been seeing people all day. And then we had dinner and I was like, I a little bit was like very aware because I was like talking about some dating shit and being ghosted and all that stuff. And like, I felt at a certain point, I was like, wait, just, I don't want to talk about me because I felt like he was like, babe, he was like giving me therapy. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't want you to give me therapy. I just want to like, lol, just tell me about your life, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to take that hat off. And it's like, it's also interesting, like I think most therapists, including me, like it's interesting to look at the world through a therapeutic lens. And so we kind of like continue to do that. And that's one of the ways that we like connect with our friends and family or whatever. But one thing that I like have repeatedly heard from my partners that they don't like is that just like when we get into a fight or something comes up, they're just like, you act like a fucking therapist. Like all of a sudden I lose you, who you really are. I just want you to be like an emotional person that's real and raw. But I go into like therapist mode because I'm like, ooh, this feels safe. I feel like I have control. I feel like I can like be really thoughtful, right? I don't know if I would have been like that if I wasn't a therapist. I mean, I wasn't like that before I was a therapist, so it's probably very like influenced by me becoming one. But that's just who I fucking am, and that's really annoying to some people. Yeah.
But like, I think also, you know, Mark and I talk about comedy biz, comedy busy, which is that like when I'm shooting a show, like when I'm doing Girls by Veva, and then I go out to dinner with people after, I'm like so fucking on and like I'm like performing. And it's really hard for me to like flip the switch and be, because I don't exist up there all the time. And in fact, like, I'm very not that person. Like, I need to be alone, and I need, people like can't believe it. Like they're like, oh, you're one of those people who says that they're an introvert, but you're like, yes, I'm an extroverted introvert. Like it's really hard for me, but comedy biz, if I'm like in it, I'm fucking in it. So it's like therapy, Jeff. Therapy, Ed. Ed had seen like 5 patients that day. You know what I mean? And then he's like sitting down with me and he's like, babe, give yourself a break. You know, like giving me therapy. I was like, I'll kind of take it, but.
You're in the zone. We're in the zone and you get it. Yeah, in your comedy exactly. Like you just kind of like continue that way. Yeah.
Yes.
And since I'm a therapist every week and making therapy content, whatever, like this is just who my personality is now. There's no getting away from it. Yeah. And I like it. And hopefully other people do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, you avoided the question that I asked you.
Which one?
Did you ever get mad at your therapist?
I can't remember ever getting mad at my therapist. I mean, the couple's therapist?
The couple's. Were you ever like, why is this guy not fucking taking my side or anything like that?
No.
No. Good.
No.
Yeah, that's a quality. Yeah. Because, you know, we're like obviously trained to like be like, I'm not taking the side of your side or your side. I'm taking the side of the relationship. That's a real like cliche therapist thing to say.
I don't even remember him ever saying that. But like, I just never felt, I really felt like he was this sort of like an interpreter and was helping the two of us figure it out, like in like our each individual languages that we could not seem to find a common language between the two of us in terms of talking about our relationship and our emotions and our needs. And like, I just felt, that's what I felt like he was more than anything. Like he was an interpreter.
Yeah. And that's one of the primary things that a couples counselor is going to do, and they have to be able to do it well. And it sounds like he did.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Did you like decide that you were going to separate or get a divorce while seeing him?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you remember like when you told him that that was the decision you were going to make, or was that like kind of like,
it was over Zoom because it was like post pandemic and we were here in New York. So yeah.
How was that for you, telling your couples counselor that you were going to end things? Like, did you feel anything about telling him that? Like, did you feel like, oh no, we're letting him down as clients, or do you feel totally safe to say anything? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah. He sounds really good.
Yeah.
And so he helped.
Recommend.
he like guided you through the separation and deciding to get a divorce.
Yeah. We saw him for a long time after. We don't anymore. We were just talking about if we needed to see somebody again. Just like sometimes we have like some logistical issues and some, you know what I think? Can I tell you? I have the best idea. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Hear me out.
Okay.
A divorce doula.
I like it. It reminds me though, did you go to like a divorce mediation?
No, we're not officially divorced. I mean, legally.
Okay. Yeah, that, I don't know
if we're ever going to do it.
You might not. It sounds like you probably don't need that or like, but like that's when it's like you can't agree on what you're going to separate.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of shit.
No, I know. I know what it is, but I'm saying, I'm saying like a different thing, like a death doula, like what a death doula does, what a birth doula does. Like, I think we should have divorce doulas. I think people should be trained in a different kind of like helping to usher in a different way of having a relationship, you know?
100%. Yeah. It's a good idea. Would that death doula like also kind of like help
you? Not death, divorce.
That's an interesting Freudian slip.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. Would that divorce doula help you like get out there and start dating other people as well? Or is it just like getting through the separation?
Yeah. And I would say like maybe help you guys process when that happens because that's fucking wild. I mean, you and your ex-wife obviously went through it. Like it is weird. It's weird when the person starts dating someone else or really likes someone else. Like it becomes a thing. Weird.
Yeah.
So weird. Because even if you're like, I'm resolved about this. Like I had to deal with a bunch of stuff in our relationship that I wasn't, that I thought I was like totally through. Mm-hmm. But then his girl, like when he had this girlfriend, it really triggered a thing for me about what was happening in our, she was younger than me. Mm-hmm. And like, it really triggered this thing for me about what was happening in our relationship when I was that age and how I'll never get to be that fucking age again. And I'll never get to like be free and like free. I mean, in terms of like, like not, you know, not having kids and like, I'll never date like in the same way, which is of course, obviously I'm not ever, I'm so grateful. I love my fucking kids. I'm happy to have them. But like, but going back to that, like, space, it was really interesting. Like I really had to process that. And like, and then it really had me, I was confronted with like, what aging does mean to me in terms of dating and like what it means to me. Did I think I was going to have more kids? And like, is that possible? Am I going, like, I don't even know, you know what I mean? Like, so I was just, is Mark going to have more kids? And like, just confronting the reality of that too, which was like, oh shit, he can have kids until, you know, Al Pacino, you know, like he's
right.
And for me, like as a woman, even if we're progressive and living in this world and whatever, but like the truth is, you know, like once you hit a certain age, it's not just that it's like not biologically possible anymore. It's like you're told by the world that your value as a person decreases because you're incapable of doing a thing.
And you felt that really hard because he started all of a sudden date somebody younger and you, there's a part of you that was comparing yourself to her or
But also really specifically like thinking about myself at that age and like, I don't know. That was so like a real mindfuck for me.
You were also like grieving your youth.
But that's midlife, man. Like that's like you're, I think you're younger than me, but like I am reading this amazing book actually called Midlife, A Philosophical Guide by Kiernan Setya.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I heard that.
But it's she's like a philosopher, writer. But it gives you like historical context and like very easily digestible philosophical context for midlife and midlife crises and how this has like existed since like Aristotle and anywhere from 35 years on, people start grappling with the same kinds of issues and thoughts and, you know, looking back and looking forward and like, you know, just dealing with what that is. And then when you add into it that this is a time when a lot of people end up separating in their relationships, it's like a lot, or you have children that then are becoming young adults. Like, it's wild. It's also wild to me that like, I have friends that have literal babies, you know? And I'm like, okay. I mean, that are my age, friends that are my age who have babies.
I know. Yeah. The fucking, we're all at like all the different like phases of life that we're in and how sometimes it like really like slaps you in the face and you have to understand it or accept it or move through it. When you were like, when you were having those feelings come up when he was like dating that younger woman, did you talk to him about it? Did you process it on your own? Like, how did you?
I was really mean.
Okay.
I fell into some really ugly patterns, Jeff, and I was really mean about it. And
you wanted
to
make him feel bad.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And
were you successful at doing that?
I was just an asshole. I got a lot happening. I'm being ghosted by like seven different men. Come on.
What? How are you? Are you on Raya?
Oh, God, I was. It was terrible. I had the worst experiences. Yeah.
Why? Why did it suck?
Oh boy. I mean, I don't know. How long is this podcast?
We got 10 minutes.
I don't know. 10 more minutes. I don't even know if I can get into it. I just find that like, well, first of all, I hadn't dated in forever.
Right. But are you excited to like go on dates and do you have, like,
I had
all the
a boyfriend. Wait. But so I had a boyfriend after my divorce.
How did you meet the boyfriend?
We knew each other. This is like very common for people. I mean, also like the girlfriend that Mark had, like, was somebody that he knew. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
This is what you do, right? Like when you get out of your marriages. So, but I was like really in love and intense with this guy and the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of dumped me out of nowhere and it was fucking wild and really
insane. Why the fuck did he dump you?
Well, Jeff, this is like we can't possibly know why anyone does anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. All we can do is move forward, which is what I've chosen to do.
It's a good, healthy attitude.
And after a year of like a lot of therapy for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild. But a few months after that breakup, so like last year in March of last year, my friends convinced me to like do a profile and join the dating app Vibe. And it just, one of the guys I met has become like a really close friend.
Okay.
So that's nice. I mean, it's like really gonna, it'll make great stories, essays for my next book, I guess. Like some of it was the behavior that these men had was so confounding, like really confusing, but I'm very obviously, maybe to a fault, like very open and really like upfront about things. But I think that there's a lot. I think that it's like, I'm well aware of my worth, my own like worth and value add to anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I'm a great fucking person and I'm super fun and I'm rad and all of the things. And I've done so much therapy and work and I'm like, a lot of my stuff is worked out, right? Mm-hmm. But I live a very kind of public life.
Sure.
Which is hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really successful and I work all the time.
Yeah.
And wildly in 2024, that's a fucking vibe for some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two kids. Sure. And I have, you know, a relationship with my ex-husband that is confusing for some men who can't conceptualize, like,
yeah, like they're intimidated by it.
I guess. The amount of times that I've had a lot of like, so your ex-husband is still in love with you and wants to get back together with you. And I'm like, he doesn't. But thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, seems great that you think that I'm so worthy of still being in love with. So like there's that. Like it's a, I'm just saying, like, I'm aware of all of the things and can see it for what it is. And I sort of wish that men were able to be more aware of all of their things.
Yeah, 100%.
And be honest with themselves about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So far I haven't found that.
It's tricky, I guess. Like, you got to find somebody who's, like, at your level, who can, like, who can embrace all the different parts of your life, who isn't weird or intimidated, can, like, feel like, you know, your relationship with Mark is a green flag, not a fucking red flag, right? Like, this is emotional maturity that you're showing. Right. This is an attractive, hot aspect of who you are. But if you're going to be threatened by it, then, like, that's just a fucking no-go, and it's weird.
And it bums me out, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I was, like, set up with a guy that I liked, but he had been seeing someone else, and then they decided to be exclusive, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer, you know?
But, like, do you feel kind of, like, emotionally checked out from, like, the date? Like, you're not going to get your fucking hopes up, and it's a dumpster fire out there, so who cares? Or do you, like, does it, like, emotionally affect you?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you kidding? Yes. Yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah. It's hard, you know? But, like, my friend Jen was saying, she's like, I just am so proud of you, how you, like, have tried this whole thing. Like, and you've really... Because also, you know, my marriage predated dating apps.
Right.
My marriage predated texting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I try. I always, like, how I move forward in the world is with optimism for all of us. For all of us. Like, I can't live in a place of despair about the state of American politics any more than I can live in a state of despair about my ultimate lovability and desire to have, like, a partner, you know? It's not going to do me any good to live in that place. I definitely have moments, especially right before my period, where I'm just like, fuck the government and fuck all these dudes. But
yeah, I mean, it feels like
it's all the same thing, but
it's all the same, or it's all connected. Yeah. And you can get, like, caught up in feeling really helpless and powerless and angry about that. So I understand.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I'm not currently on a dating app, so I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to meet someone, but I'm just sort of like, I guess in that way, I sort of did kind of back off of it after I had, like, but I had enough bad experiences that I was just like, I don't think that the people on here are, or the men on here are the vibe for me.
Yeah. I get it. That makes sense.
I don't know. Do you have any advice?
I kind of like where you are right now, where you're just sort of like, all right, I'm open. I'm, like, here to go on dates, but I'm not going to, like, get on the fucking apps to try to seek that shit out. It's like, I mean, the apps are like fine. It's the modern way of meeting people and that's great. But if you continue to have like shitty experiences from it, then yeah, take a fucking break and see what happens, when, like what naturally kind of organically flows into your life.
Yeah. I had this one thing that was so wild, which is that like this guy I really liked and we really like vibed and like liked each other. And it was like, and the bummer was that he didn't live here. And so, which is also so weird about those apps. Like, why are you showing me people that don't live here? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And we had like, we didn't want to do like a lot. I don't want to be in a long distance relationship and certainly not like to start a relationship.
No.
But I do travel a lot to LA and like, I don't know, my life is very busy and big. And so I was like, well, if you're down to like kind of just be friends and not have any expectations, which I am, like if you meet someone and you are into it, like I'll be sad, but I will, but it'll be okay, you know? Mm-hmm. But it just was like, it just couldn't, it just felt, it was too confusing. It's just like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. If you're long distance, it's like, it's hard to get that like rhythm, right? And it's hard to like find ways to connect usually.
Right.
And sometimes it's too pressured when you actually do see each other. It's like very fucking intense.
Right. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I had another guy that was like very like coming in so hot, whatever. And then at a certain point was like, I mean, I do have this thing. Like, I just was never going to, I never want to date somebody who already has kids. And I was like, bitch, why did you click on my fucking thing? Like, it is the first thing I say about myself.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I think a lot of people just, like, don't fucking read profiles anyways. And they sort of, like, see it as, like, a numbers game or they're not being very, like, conscious daters, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, like, I don't know. I try to be conscious in all of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of okay with where I'm at too. I just feel like it's sort of, I don't know.
Do you have any friends that you have crushes on? That already like know you and fit into your, no, there's nobody.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Are you someone that can like turn a friend into like a romantic interest?
100%. That was my boyfriend, like the guy that was my boyfriend.
Okay. Right.
I like never in a million years like thought of him in that way. And then I did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can, but I don't, I don't really have anyone. No. No.
No. All right.
No. I know. And I've done the thing. I did do the thing. I have done the thing where I'm like,
what
to my friend, to my friends, like,
right.
And my extended friends. Like, because I think going to like just your friends is sometimes not the move. It's like people who don't know you that well. Like, do you know what I mean? To set you up is all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Because, and so I did go to like extended friend groups and say like, hey, if you think of anyone, like I'm totally open to a blind intro, whatever.
And nobody thought of anyone? Oh, you did?
Yes. I did go on one. It was not, not for her. No, but,
That's a way to do it though. Yeah. I like that. Like asking your friends to set you up because they know you best. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think like your close friends, it can get complicated because I think they get, I mean, I do when it's me, like I get too precious with my friends, you know, I'm like, no, not that guy. He's not hot enough, whatever. You know what I mean? Or
I know, I get it. But aren't you like meeting new people all the time with all like the work that you're doing and, or do you feel like your life is like pretty insular?
I mean, I meet a ton of people, but I also...
They're not hitting on you?
I don't think so. I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe. I don't...
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not, but you might need to be like really curious about that. Like going out there when you meet new people, is this person hitting on me? What is the vibe here? And then kind of like give it back if you feel something.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've tried that a little bit. Like I have tried that, but and I like have really said yes to a lot of things. I've like gone out to a lot of things that I normally would probably be like, no, I'm tired. I'm going to take a bath and go to bed, whatever. But I've like been saying yes to a lot of invitations, going to a lot of things. And like, so yeah, okay. I don't know. Like,
you're doing it all right. You're doing everything that you should be doing. You just haven't met that person yet. That's okay.
I know, but it does take, like I said, like, I think it's fucking real, man. Like I'm all of the things that make me and make me fucking great are also a lot of things that make a lot of men be like, I don't know. Like, that's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not easy. You know what I mean? I'm not. I'm really not easy. Nothing about my life, nothing about me is easy. And I mean, except for some things, but.
Sure. Maybe not easy, but like, it sounds like you have a lot to offer though.
I do.
When it comes down to it. Yeah. And I imagine you're a very fucking good partner. So
I am. I'm a Cancer. Yeah.
Oh, I know that. I looked that up.
What are
we
you?
We love a Cancer. I'm a Capricorn.
Oh, what's a Capricorn? I don't think I know any Capricorns.
Oh, very handsome and stable and sweet and cute and funny and really stubborn, but only because we're right all the time.
Oh,
like,
right.
You know, money is organized, you know, has a schedule, routine.
Capricorns are horns?
The goat, yes.
The goat.
Yes.
The goat.
Yeah.
Wait, when is that? When's your birthday?
December 27.
Okay. Oh, okay. A Christmas baby.
I was a Christmas baby. Yep.
Yeah.
I love being a Capricorn. We're an earth sign, so that means we're like real solid and anchored and grounded. Yeah. It works well with the Cancer, actually. You can like complement each other.
That's interesting. I love a Leo. I know. Complicated.
Yeah. I like a Cancer. I like a Pisces. I'm magnetized towards Geminis, which is not a good match for me. Like, it's too fiery.
Yeah, maybe I should reframe. I'm magnetized towards Leos.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a good match for me. Mark's a Cancer.
Oh, really? Two Cancers. Mm-hmm.
And actually, my boyfriend before him was a Cancer.
Oh, what the fuck? So are you looking for another Cancer? Or are you just No. Okay.
No. I dated a Leo Aquarius. First time ever.
Fuck me up, Aquarius. I can't stand a fucking Aquarius.
What is it? Because it's very confusing.
That's it. They're confusing. They're all over the place. Yeah.
Over the place.
Yeah. No. And you can't
know them down. So hot and so like hot and cold. And like finally I was like, babe, I've worked through all my shit, but like my parents didn't love me enough for this. Like you gotta, I can't fucking navigate this. I'm sorry.
I can't stand it. Yeah. Stay away from all the Aquarius.
Weird.
Yeah. No, they're the worst. Yeah.
It's so weird. I love a Sagittarius.
I like a Sag. I also, Scorpios are fiery. Pisces are kind of my jam right now.
Nice. Your girlfriend's a Pisces.
My girlfriend's a Pisces. The girlfriend before that was a Pisces. Yeah.
Interesting.
Very sweet, very emotionally intelligent, likes deep relationships. They're a lot like Cancers, actually. Have like same crossover qualities. So you might want to look for a Pisces. Or if you want to look for someone who's like really grounded and consistent, then it's an earth sign, like a Capricorn, like a Virgo, Taurus. Or a Taurus. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my best friends is a Virgo. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love the astrology. I'm a real crystal bitch. So I always hate it when I like meet men and they're like, it's stupid. And I'm like, bitch, the tides are affected by the moon. You think I'm not?
Right. Get the fuck out of here.
get out of here.
Yeah, get in touch
with yourself. I've bled on a full moon since I was 13 years old. Yeah. Let's like be real. And I think that that's like a thing too. Like, I think there's a different vibe when you're older, which is like, I don't fucking need you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that's, I think that that's hard for some people. Like, I would if you're a value, like if you're a value add, like if you're like, and I mean that like to my life, like in a really, like if you're fun and you're rad and you want to hang, like that's a thing. But I also have like plenty of people in my life that are rad and fun and can hang, you know?
Yeah. The you need me shit feels very secure in a relationship. Yes. Like you need me, so I feel of value. You're not going to leave me sort of thing. But it sounds like you want to be with somebody because you just really want to spend time with them, not because you need to be with them. And that's like a really mature, healthy way to go about it. But it's a little more tricky to find somebody who's just as comfortable and also just wants to be with you, doesn't need to be with you.
I know. When is therapy, TikTok, and Instagram gonna get to the men?
The problem is, like, you know, like 85% of my followers are women, only 15%. So all the women are still, you know, obviously doing the emotional labor, even like watching the videos that make relationships healthier. Yeah. I don't know. I've thought a lot about how to like attract more men to my platform, and I am kind of stumped. So if you have any ideas, let me know.
Yeah, I think we need to like workshop it. Like we need to get to these guys. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's got to be something, because I do think that it's also with more emotional awareness and maturity on the part of women and younger and younger women, like they won't be the ones that are going to like take on all of the emotional labor. They're just going to be like, fuck this, bye.
Right.
Which I think they're already doing.
I think they are. Speaking. And there are consequences to that. And I was hoping that like the consequences would be like, oh, these men are feeling left behind and they can't figure it out. So they're going to emotionally grow. They're going to evolve. But it seems like a lot of them are just like, okay, we're just going to hate women instead.
That's where it's really going. Yeah.
Right.
Because the dudes, I've actually thought, I have really thought about this, because the men that they're, these opportunistic, like Andrew Tate, Joe Rogan figures that like have been able to rise up in this moment, like post Me Too, I think are really sort of have hooked in younger men with the dumbest shit ever, but like literally like cars and money. And so like, they show up for the cars and money and they stay for the misogyny. and I'm just like, what is the other version of that where we can like get them in for the cars and the money and then have them and then give them some like awareness and some therapy and some context?
I don't fucking know.
I
don't know who like the, who's the like anti role model to Joe Rogan and those guys. What's the other side?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's you. Cause I was like, is it Paul Rudd? Like, I don't know.
Paul Rudd is the answer to everything. Yes.
Right. It's Paul Rudd. I don't know, but it's happening. Like the indoctrination of these men into this is like all happening online, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it's happening to weirdly older men and younger and teenagers. So it's like, it's really all across the board, but at the core of it, they are feeling a thing, which is that they do feel sort of left behind and like not heard and not seen, which is all any of us want anyway. So there has to be like some way to crack this code. We just have to like.
But Joe Rogan and Andrew Tate, like, I mean, there's nothing. I don't find them very likable at all. There's lots of like problems, but they know how to get views and they know how to get clicks and they know how to like create a, you know, parasocial relationship with all their followers. Like they are, whether they meant to be or not, they're like incredibly skilled at what they do. And yeah, these like boys and men didn't feel seen and now they feel seen and now they have a community and now they're like reinforcing it all. And it's so fucking polarized and it can be a bigger community than ever because it's all online now and it's easy to just like listen to a fucking podcast or get into a comment section on Reddit or whatever. It's hard when they have like such a big user base now and Joe Rogan is the number one podcast, not even just barely, but like by far,
by like so much,
so much. Second place is so far behind Joe Rogan.
I know.
So yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
I'm not either, but I do feel like it's worth continuing to think about and talk about. And like also for women to be aware of and like, also be thinking about it, you know, like, because I don't know.
Yeah. It's
complicated.
Yeah. It's complicated and it's sad and upsetting. And I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't know. Well, we'll have to stop here. Maybe we can like solve this problem on the next episode.
Okay. I think you should do that.
No big deal. Okay. All right, Busy, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, it was great. It was so fun. Of course. Thank you.